Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, and welcome aboard. We've got two more shows left to go for 2011. I want you to contemplate that. Isn't that something? We're going to do today something pretty cool. Just some magical moments and memories from folks that we really appreciated as guests since the launch of the show in August of this year. Really cool. I hope you had a great Christmas. We're in the midst of Hanukkah still. I think the last day is tomorrow. And then Kwanzaa has started, so happy holidays to you, although I'm not a happy holidays person. You know what I mean? I like to say what it is, but then again, you have to take into consideration a whole bunch of people. No matter what it is that you celebrate, how have you been doing eating-wise? Can I just make a confession to you? It's bad. Between the white chocolate cinnamon popcorn, the cranberry orange popcorn, the peanut butter thumbprint cookies, and the Panera holiday bread, this girl needs to take a serious look at what's going to happen in 2012. And I am. You're going to hear more about that later. Dave McMurray is our guest today. I cannot wait for next hour. Get ready for Detroit's finest. In the meantime, let us give you what I promised. Let's go to a guest that was our very first guest back in August. This is Jared on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, you're going to love this song.
on some blue highway stopped for me. The driver's seat held my Brigitte, with whom I parted from say.
You know, if you have trouble with your heat at home, you're not exactly feeling warmish during this holiday season, all you'd really have to do is put a CD on from Michael Franks and things will just perk up real nicely. Mercy sakes alive, Michael Franks, One Day in Saint-Tropez from Time Together. What a cool moment that was when Michael Franks, within a 24-hour period, agreed via his agency to come on the show because he wanted to make sure folks knew about a couple of dates in late 2011. To see him on 11-11-11 at Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland was, man, that was icing on an already delicious cake. He was just unbelievable, as was his band, especially Veronica Nunn. I just love her so much. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to her in 2012. But Michael, in the meantime, laying back for the holidays, the only differentiation in any kind of schedule info or anything via his website or Facebook page, is that he got to meet one of his musical heroes, Ahmad Jamal. There is the coolest picture of those two together on my Facebook page. Ahmad is just laughing, and Michael looks like the canary that just ate the cat. Really a wonderful guy. And if he was here, I know he'd want me to do this. If you have a New Year's resolution in mind, besides keeping fit, losing weight, getting health conscious, tra-la, tra-la, Hearts United for Animals is close to his heart. This is a national no-kill shelter that Michael has been supporting for a while. He is a cat lover, a dog lover, an animal lover, period. And if you go to michaelfranks.com, you'll find out more. I just love him for doing that. Nick Colleone, The Connection from Feel the Heat. Nick has been doing well this year, hasn't he? Oh, yeah. Just make sure you go to Trippin' and Rhythm Records and find out how well Nick is doing via his record label. He's going to be with Lisa McClowry outside of Detroit on New Year's Eve. And I just heard that he has signed to be one of the artists on the 2012 Capital Jazz Fest Super Cruise. It's going to be happening next October, at which time I will turn 60. So maybe I should think about doing this for a big old pre-birthday gift. I'll have to talk to Nick about that. Yes. Jared, we heard from too. Yes, Dancing with You from Manhattan Nights. Jared, one of these little secrets that I did not know pertaining to Jared and another artist that you're going to hear this hour, Carla Chisholm. Jared is part of a group by Elan Artists. Jared has a solo career doing very well and has been for quite a while. But when you go to elanartists.com, I think that's it. I'll have to turn a page and see if that's correct. Yeah, E-L-A-N. Jared and Carla, Gary and Greg Granger, Wawa LeGrand, Eli Staples, and another few have gathered together to pool their talents to make sure that any amazing event, wedding, bar mitzvah, birthday, they all get together and perform as a group. I am so tickled by this. I had no idea, but Jared is going to have some more great news in 2012 for you, and I'll just let him keep that a secret as these plans formulate. Actually, every one of these artists that you're going to hear today has something, at least one special thing stupendous happening for them in the upcoming new year. And you know what? We should make it a point to say that about all of us. Let's make it a point. This gentleman certainly has some plans in the next several days, as a matter of fact. And the man that you're going to hear next hour, Dave McMurray, has quite a few himself. Whew, man, after you hear this resume, you're going to have an Excedrin. Dave McMurray next hour and Wallace Roney, one of the great surprises of this year, right now on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is sweet. Thank you. And you know what? I just got to stop the music. That's Wallace Roney, and he's got a date coming up on not only the 30th, but also the 31st in Detroit at the Templar Jazz Series with his sextet. Can you imagine that? WallaceRoney.com has more information, and so does this website right now, folks. If you are in the Detroit area, Masonic, MASONIC.com. Now, the reason why I'm stopping after the first song is that we have a caller. I think I know who this is. Let me just see 443 area code. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Debbie?
Hey, Trish.
Debbie Paul?
Yes, it is.
How are you, girl? I saw that number pop up, and I thought, now, does she just want to wish all of us a Happy New Year? Is that what she wants to do?
Yes, I do, and I wanted to also say I've been trying to get on the chat, but for some reason my computer is not letting me do it.
Oh, well, my God, you and Griselda need to get together, because between her computer and you not being able to get on chat, we got to get you new computers for 2012.
Well, Matt's going to try to help me figure this out, but I just wanted you to know that I wanted to wish you of course, this Christmas is over, but, you know, Merry Christmas and also a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I appreciate that. And we're going to actually end this hour with one of your songs that really touched a few of us this year.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. So cool.
Well, you know, I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. Give Matt a hug, and I know it's going to be a great new year for all of us. God bless you, Debbie.
Thanks a lot, Trish.
I'll see you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Debbie Poole, and we're going to hear a tune from Debbie really soon. Let's make sure we keep the music going. And don't forget, Dave McMurray comes your way at the next hour. Can't wait to see what's going on with that very busy gentleman. Luis Munoz, oh my, just love to say his name, just love to play his music. He's got something new coming out in 2012, but this is from his Invisible CD. You'll love it. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I've been an open door at no one wanted by. I told you how I feel. I was so glad to hear you feel the same. You're scared and not prepared to give me. I just need you near me, and I need you to hear me. All I know is that I'm losing control of my heart. I know I shouldn't let myself get carried away. Of the day, I know I can't make you stay. So I go out night to night with other men who are all right. But the whole damn time, all I think about is you. 'Cause I need I'm here, you to hear me. All I know is that I'm losing control of my heart. Losing control. Losing control. Losing control.
Let me tell you something. It's just amazing to see and know that once you see somebody for the first time, you just have a feeling about them. And every time you see them, the feeling grows. And they might not be in the scenario where you picture them ultimately, but you know that in a crowded little bar in Baltimore, that person's going to remember that day, as are you, because you knew that one day they were going to explode across the universe. That day is on its way for Carla Chisholm. Now, her name is spelled C-H-I-S-H-O-L-M, but it's pronounced Chisholm. And you go to carlachisholm.com, find out more. This girl is on top of everything as far as her career is concerned. That song is so beautiful, Losing Control, from something brand new from Carla, Moving On. Carla has been playing places in the Baltimore, D.C. area, playing with other people, part of the Elan Artists scenario that I told you about when we played Jared, because Jared and Carla work together pretty frequently. Well, Carla is just mind-blowing in concert because she's a beautiful woman. And what she is doing and what she plans for 2012 is pretty mind-blowing. She's got her website in control. She's got the CD in control. Let me tell you, when you sell out Blues Alley, which she did a few weeks ago, that says something. So you know that we're going to keep an eye on Carla, as I have been doing now for the past 3 or 4 years. And she's just been slowly and steadily building her fan base and doing what needs to be done so that she can make her way into the world. And she's ready. She's ready. Any minute now, we're going to hear some amazing news. Just as we have with so many people who have visited Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, like Luis Munoz. You know, who would have ever guessed that here was a guy who was studying classical music and architecture in Costa Rica and then came to America, residing in California now, producer, writer, arranger, percussionist, just done so well, written so many scenarios for movies and for his home country, and done a whole lot of benevolent acts that geniuses like this don't like to make mention, because they really do believe that if you do things quietly, it's the best way to show how much you love humanity. When he was on the show, he just typified that kind of love for everybody. Just so nice to have these kinds of guests and to make sure we pay tribute to them right now. We're going to wind down. We've got 15 more minutes or so to go, and we wanted to make sure that we said our love and great support of a group that is based, as is Carla, in the extended Baltimore, D.C. area, Groove School. We had Christian DeMasonis on bass as our guest some weeks ago, and you heard a little taste of what Groove School is all about. Oh, my gosh. Just to know that they're doing their thing and have been making such great strides. I just love it. And the whole premise of this show is to make sure that we not only feature the folks who are nationally or internationally known, but the folks who need to get that kind of forum who are locally or regionally based. This is Groove School and Brother to Brother on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Don't forget, Dave McMurray, in just about 15 minutes or so. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Time is a lovely illusion that stretches and contracts with each moment. Time. I need more time.
Okay, it's not that I do this all the time, but I got to let out a have much mercy on that track right there. Dave McMurray from his CD, Woohoo! I Know About Love, and I'm going to find out just how much he does know about that in just a moment. Phew, that was some kind of track. Time number four is the name of that, and I just want you to know that we heard two from Groove School to start the set, Christian Dimasones on bass, Kevin Grogan on keys, Keith Anderson on sax, Nick Costa on drums. That was Brother to Brother from their limited edition CD, Something So Hot. Debbie Poole, not only in the chat room, which is getting real crowded, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Debbie Poole from her CD, In the Midst of Love, I Am Here for You, especially for our Texas connection today. Debbie doing her thing, and let me tell you what, if you want to go to Poulez-vous, as far as YouTube is concerned, and check out some hot videos, Debbie is from Baltimore. She is about to pop worldwide. She's getting there minute by minute. Without further ado, let us tell you that on the line with us is somebody that I am getting to know more about all the time. And each time I find out a different facet of what this man has done, I get my mind blown. You don't know who this man has worked with and how each time he has worked with someone, he has enhanced their artistry, and then he has learned something that he takes and runs with it as far as creativity is concerned. Writer, producer, musician, multi-instrumentalist, as a matter of fact, that has to get said, because it's pretty rare when somebody is as amazing on one instrument as he is for another. Has been a musical director, has been doing his own thing since at least the mid-60s, and I'm just going to shut up and let him talk about him, because he's one of the coolest cats we've had on this particular show. I am talking about Dave McMurray. Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Trish?
I'm doing real well. I feel better that you're there. You got there early. God bless you.
Oh, yes. I was ready.
That's so cool. And, you know, Dave, we have never spoken, but just initially hearing your voice, you have the same voice as you have on that smile from your CD.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you.
That is so cool. How are you this day? And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I'm doing very good.
I guess you are, and I guess you have reason to smile and laugh. You're one of the busiest creatures on the planet, are you not?
Oh, I'm trying to be. It's always room for more, though, you know. But yeah, it's been a good year, though.
Is there always room for more? I mean, are you really thinking of expanding your horizons in 2012?
Oh, I've got to. Hopefully this year we'll bring a lot more Dave McMurray shows. You know, that's what I'm definitely looking forward to doing, you know.
That's so cool. You know, Dave, it must be a trip for you in talking to a bunch of different people about you, and everybody has something awesome to say. Isn't it cool when you go from, like, place to place and you've been everywhere? You might get a flavor of some artists when you go to, I don't know, L.A. or Atlanta or across the water. But when I'm thinking, when people think of Detroit, and it doesn't have to be jazz, when they think of Detroit music, they think about you.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope so. Well, but I'm definitely a Detroiter through and through. You know, I rep Detroit everywhere I go, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Detroit has such a rich musician of musicians in whatever kind of music, you know, from rock to jazz to R&B. I mean, Detroit's, you know, has a great tradition of music, you know, so I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Well, I'm a Philly girl to start, so I know about towns that produce great music, and now I'm in Baltimore.
Oh, and Philly is definitely one of them.
Oh, my God. Sure. You know that's right.
Oh, for sure.
God, I mean, being raised on Gamble and Huff, enough said about that, you know?
You can stop there, you know?
Exactly. How did you get to be, I mean, why did you want to be, and when did it start for you that you gravitated to music and became such a multi-instrumentalist?
You know, it's strange. I started playing clarinet at a real early age, cause, and I knew I had a knack for music, but I just liked the arts in general. So I didn't necessarily know what I was going to be, but I knew I would do something in the arts, you know, because I paint, you know, I write, and I just knew I wanted to do something in the arts. But saxophone was ended up being the main instrument. You know, that's the one that kept me going, you know.
Did you get a lot of support when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my family was very supportive. And I had an uncle who actually played guitar, so that was, like, one of my main inspirations, just watching him. I remember one time as a kid, I went to one of his gigs, and I was like, wow, there's Uncle Bill up there on the stage playing. I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I think
yeah.
I want to do that. You know?
I guess that would be a kicker for you, because you get so impressionable when you're little. And I love this, because you're one of those people that stand out among a lot, since you have worked with so many people, and your resume is just so mind-blowing. You embraced early that what you had was a gift. You knew it early, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I did, because I just knew I had a knack for it, and I enjoyed it so much. I mean, I like every kind of music, so I mean, and Detroit was such a good place for that. I remember at one point I would look, a festival that I have never went to, but they had an Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival, and it was just so eclectic and so strange. I mean, it would be like everybody from the MC5 and then Pharoah Sanders and then Sun Ra, and then it was just like a crazy festival, and I used to look at the lineup every year and go, wow. You know, that's a lot of different kinds of music, and I go, but I like them. I like all of it, you know. Whenever I hear any type of music, I imagine myself in it. I think that's how I embrace music so much, because I hear my sax in that, you know, whether it's electronic music or whether it's rock music, I can hear the sax in it, you know.
Well, Dave, is it any wonder I gravitated to you? I mean, the show is called Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. If you ain't hybrid, nobody is.
All right, there we go.
I know you do. And then, you know, you've taken all of what you've learned. I mean, if folks don't know, if they're listening either online right now or archived later on or in the chat room, listen to this. I mean, we're talking everybody from Bob Dylan to Bob James, everybody from Kid Rock to Gladys Knight, Nancy Wilson, my God, Bonnie Raitt, Iggy Pop. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of those were sessions where I wouldn't necessarily play with them live, but we would go in the studio and work with them, and I would already be aware of all their music anyway, so it was just an honor for me to be playing. Or be in the same room with them was just great, you know.
And then is it true, because I really like this, or at least I was picking up the vibe, that you were already doing your own thing and getting firmly entrenched in the music industry, and then you had a chance to work with Was Not Was?
I met those guys when it was just an idea. I mean, you know,
really?
they had a crazy idea. It was like, you know, imagine, you know, Elvin Jones playing punk music or something. You know, they had all these crazy ideas, and that was right down my line. I was like, wow, yeah, that's crazy. And you know, and they were one of the first people to actually do what they said. They, you know, they had these ideas. First, we're going to make a record, and then we're going to go on tour, and then we're going to do this and do this. You know, and you hear that's everybody's dream. They actually pulled it off. You know, where they had this crazy idea of putting all these different types of music together, and it worked. You know, it actually worked. It's strange, when I went to do the session, you know, they would do all these sessions at midnight. So I went in there to do the first session, and all they played me was the drums and a bass line. And then they said, okay, play. You know, and they said, no, don't play straight. You know, just play whatever you feel, you know. So a lot of it, I didn't really know what it was going to be until, you know, a month later when they would actually play me what they did, and I was amazed. Like, wow. They was kind of, they knew what it sounded like, but they wouldn't let me hear it because they didn't want me to get locked into it. Ended up, it was all the sessions would be fun. It would be great.
And
it was actually because of them is how I were able to meet so many other musicians, because they started producing other people, and then they would pull me along with them. I would go out to California, and I would, you know, pretty much play on a lot of the sessions that they would do. You know.
Oh, man. And then, I mean, I love this, that, you know, because of what they were able to show, there's no such thing as coincidence in my world. Everything is supposed to happen for a reason, and you might not know it at the time, but later on down the road, you do. They sort of opened up a door for you as far as creativity. Man, because you are one of the more creative individuals in contemporary jazz these days. I'm not the first person to tell you that.
Well, thank you. But, you know, and music is so vast. There's so much room, you know. So I would always go, I know I can get this spot. Even if I wasn't successful at it, I'd be trying to get a certain spot in there because it's a lot of talent out here, you know. And, I just want to be a part of it, you know.
Man. Well, how is it? I mean, I'm looking at your body of work here. My gosh. Dave McMurray Show, Peace of Mind, New Life Stories, Soul Searching, My Brother and Me. With each step, as far as your CD work is concerned, how do you think that you progressed? What was it that varied from album to album for you?
Well, you know, when I started the record, it's kind of an unconscious thing, but each project I go, okay, this time I'm going to try to do some different chords or something, you know. And then I unconsciously, you know, you're thinking about it, but I start writing music, and it all kind of goes in that direction, you know. So each project I go, okay, this one, like when I did this one, the newest record, I was thinking I wanted something that when you put it on the CD, you can put it on, and every song will kind of flow and fit together. And I tried to get this really dark, kind of sexy vibe, but real groove-oriented, not a lot of chord changes. And I thought that in my mind, you know, when I started the project. And over a couple of years, it just kind of developed into the project, you know, into what it did, you know. But each project, I just try to get an angle on it and then go after it.
Well, Dave, of course, the question begs to get asked, how much do you know about love?
But it's strange. That song was actually a collaboration between me and Herschel Boone. We write songs all the time. You know, for each project, I always go to him.
Yes.
And I usually start the song off, and that's a song that I had in my mind. I said I came up with the title first, and then I came up with the concept of it. You know, and the concept was kind of like, I don't know a lot about, you know, I mean, I know calculus and biology, but I know about love. You know, and we kind of kicked that around, and then he finished the song. and whenever, you know, when he finally finished it, he played me what he had, and I was like, and I'm always amazed at what he does, you know, because he's an incredible songwriter and a great singer. You know, but that's how that song came about. But I didn't know about love.
I was just asking because, you know, that is a very bold title for a CD. I Know About Love.
You know what? I thought about that, but I thought, wow, it's just a lot, that song kind of said it all. So I was just like, well, I'll take a chance. I'll use it.
I
won't get a negative backlash or anything, or somebody, really, do you really know about love, huh? Do you really?
No, it's so positive because it can be all-encompassing, I Know About Love. I mean, that is the coolest thing that anybody can say.
I say I know about love because I know what it feels like to be loved, so that's a good thing, and I know how to
get it. There you go, and I absolutely love that. Well, tell me, why has this year been especially good for you? Give me a couple of for instances. I mean, I think I know, but you tell us.
Well, I mean, the main thing, main reason it's good for me, because, you know, I worked a lot this year. You know, with Kid Rock, we worked a lot. But the main thing, my whole focus from the beginning of the year was to finish this CD. And I waited all the way to the last month, but I finally got it out, and I'm excited, you know, because it's going into the new year. And it was a great top off to the year, you know, just to actually have the project in my hand finally and know that, you know, 2012, I'm going to be out there promoting it. So, that, you know, that was the best thing I think happened this year, you know.
That's cool. And this really does blow my mind because my son is 19 and he listens to everything under the sun. And, of course, part of what he has listened to in the past few years has been Kid Rock. So coming off the road from Kid Rock, does that affect you as you go into the studio to wrap up your CD, or can you separate? There's a lot of separation that you have to make, I'm sure, with playing with these various artists. But
they're all really, really different, you know, because
yeah.
I mean, and the way they approach it. I mean, I learned a lot from everybody just from playing with him. He's the consummate showman and dictionary of music. So it's good, you know. But his showmanship, I learned a lot from that just looking at how he approaches the show, because he's like really a hands-on guy, you know. And so I, when I'm looking at him, how he's thinking of it and how he's putting the show together, I learned a lot from that. But I mean, what's different is for him, you know, we play like 10, 12,000 seaters. So when for him, he's playing a 2,500 seater, he'll call that a club. You know, whereby other artists, you know, I play with, playing a 25 seater is gigantic. You know, so it's another whole approach. You know, to him, that's like a small venue. You know, for if I play at a 25 seater, that's a big venue for me. I love playing that.
Wow.
You know, so that, you know, that is the, that's one of the big adjustments, you know, because on a big stage with 15,000 people, you got to be bigger, you know, because you got to be projecting, you know, way out there, as opposed to playing in a jazz club. It's not like that, you know.
Right. Completely. Yeah. It's almost as if you.
The strange thing is they're both, for me, they're just as fulfilling. You know, when I'm playing in a small club and it's exciting and, you know, people are into it, I'm just as excited as playing in a 15,000 seater. It's the same excitement for me, you know.
Yeah, because you know what? I mean, I truly get the sense with you that you're an innate performer. You know how to make use of your acting abilities. You know, it doesn't matter whether anybody's trained or not, but you know what to do in order to play to a crowd no matter where you are. You just have that larger-than-life persona. So, shoot, no worries about you at all.
Oh no! Well, I wish it was that. I wish I was that confident about it. But the main thing I'm confident about when I am playing, though, I look at it like I'm trying to reach people. I'm not trying to go over their head. I'm trying to take them on the journey. So, and,
exactly,
you know, on the journey, whether it's one song, the whole set, or whatever, I'm trying to grab them and take them with me. You know, and when I've done, and when that's successful, it's no better feeling than that. You know. You know,
oh,
have an audience and know they're with you, you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and it's so funny. That must be the biggest natural high that there is, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, it really is. It really is. Just, you know, to know that, you have them and they're enjoying it. They're enjoying it. They're with you. And if you slow it down, they're going to go with you. You know, if you speed it up, they're going with you. And that's the best, you know, for sure, you know.
Well, there's, you know, some of the titles. I mean, I always get caught up in what artists name their songs and reasons why. And, of course, I Love You Like Jazz stood out for me. So here is this tricky little number from I Know About Love, and I want to play it. And I don't want to crowd up our conversation too much, but I for sure want to get some music out. Tell me about that song.
I Love You Like Jazz. Oh,
yep.
Well, that is weird. That popped up one night about 2 in the morning, and I'm just kind of listening to music, and I thought, wow, that's a great title. And I actually had the song. I had the song, but I hadn't gotten it tight yet. And once I got that title, it all fell into place. You know, it all made sense, you know, where I was trying to go. And it's funny, the sound that you hear on there, that's actually my dog. My dog, whenever he, for some reason, when I play the sax, he sings. And so when I play
the
sax, oh
my gosh, really?
Yeah. So I was getting ready to record the sax, and he's just kind of sitting there. And then I put my headphones in, and you know, I start playing the song, and I said, "Dude," and he hit the note. He said, "Dude," he did it. He did it naturally, and I said, "Wow, wait a minute, I got to keep that." And so I kept playing, and he kept on playing with. He kept singing with me. So, but I actually sampled part of it and used it for the song. But I mean, it was a natural reaction. He just did it, you know.
See, I told folks that you were creative, and that certainly is creative. Oh my gosh. Well, we've got Dave McMurray with us today, and he has this CD out that is so choice. I Know About Love. This is I Love You Like Jazz on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Check this out.
I love you like jazz, baby.
Is she rolling, rolling, rolling?
tell you something. That track has groove to spare. Oh, my gosh. And you know what? Honest to God, here we are. It's rainy in Baltimore. Dave McMurray, I've got my little Christmas tree in the kitchen. This is where I have my studio, my big old kitchen. And a candle next to the window. And that track, holy cow, a couple could get into real trouble listening to this CD. Can I just tell you?
There we go.
I love it. I love you like jazz. Man, everybody in the chat room has gone a little crazy over that track, too. Whoa.
That's what we want to hear.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You must be so pumped about this album.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited. The reaction so far is really good. So, you know, I'm definitely looking to, you know, take the floor running, you know, in the new year.
Yeah, cool. You know what? I got to ask you this because artists are a little sensitive. And I figured that you wouldn't because you are such a seasoned pro at this point and know who you are. But I was doing research and looked after story after story, no matter where I found, there was three instances at least where writers, always complimentary, but they compared you to Grover Washington Jr. How do you feel about that?
Well, I have to love it. I can't be mad at that because I was definitely a Grover Washington fan. You know, I mean,
that's cool.
of him and his music. I mean, you know, because I got a funny story about him because I met him a few times through the years. But one time he came through Detroit and I'm young and I'm just coming up to him and I said, "Hey, can I sit in with you?" I just had guts. I just asked him. He looked at me like, "What? Yeah, okay." Come back tomorrow to the matinee, you know, and I'll let you sit in. And I was like, great. So, you know, I'm all excited, you know. So the next day, I'm on my way, and my car breaks down.
No!
My car breaks down. So, I'm trying to get the car fixed. I got it started. Go up to the gig. And it's over.
No. Oh, my gosh.
And he's walking out the door, and he said, "Hey, where were you? I looked for you." And I was like, I don't even know what to say. I was so disappointed. I was like, but he said, "It's okay. It's going to be another time." Of course, I
God, but Dave, that breaks my heart.
Believe me, I was so disappointed because he was such a nice guy. I mean, he was so cool. The next time I saw him was on The Tonight Show, and he was the best. He was absolutely the best. He was actually playing with the Tonight Show band, which at the time was Branford and them.
And
I've met Branford before, but I didn't really know him too well, you know. So you know, and I was on the show with an artist named Sheb Khalid, which was another eclectic artist. It was like rye music, you know. He was an Algerian artist, and he's like a star over in France and everywhere, but he was just coming to the United States, and he was on The Tonight Show. So, and during that song, I had like a long solo in the songs. And so, the performance, it went really good. I was happy. I was just standing there after the show. And I look over in the corner, and Grover Washington is walking fast toward me. He just walked straight to me. And then I looked up, and he held his hands out, and he hugged me. And he said, "Man, you sound so good. You playing that continuum." He knew what kind of sax I had. And he was just like, just so cool. I was like, "You made my day." No one else has to talk to me. You just came over and talked to me. It's like, you know, no one else could get a word in edgewise. You know, he was just talking so much to me. I was like, that was it right there.
kidding.
That was the absolute best, you know.
And you know what? That's the mark of a man who really loves people because he remembered you.
Oh, yeah. He was such a nice guy. When I heard he passed, it hurt, you know, because he was just really cool, you know, and he still had more music, you know.
Oh, listen, sure. we were crushed in Philly. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
I know that.
Phew. But I
love that comparison because he's definitely one of my main influences, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? It's really cool. People don't mean to do this. People feel, especially in the States, people feel the need to compartmentalize and categorize. And I understand that because it makes things easier for us. I mean, we're all ADHD anyway. We're all ADD.
Right, right.
we need the categories. But, you know, any time that I read that about you, people making comparisons to you and Grover Washington Jr., nothing but complimentary, because everybody knows that you're so much more than that. My God, look at the influences that you've had. You are your own sax player, and you are phenomenal. But it's just nice to know that when you hear folks, there's a part that harkens back to what was, because people have to hang on to that for dear life, don't they? They have to hang on to memories.
Oh, yeah, because it's different. Like when I, you know, on the Kid Rock gig, I don't get that comparison. The comparison I get is with Clarence Clemons. And then, you know, because he played with the E Street Band with Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
And so when I, you know, when people say that, I understand it totally. And he's not a person I listen to a lot, but I have those records that he created, that he was such a part of. And I love that comparison when they say that to me, you know, because people say, oh, does that bother you? Like, oh, of course not, it doesn't bother me. I love that. You know, I love that people, you know, have, because in the rock world, he was kind of it. You know,
yeah.
he was the main guy, you know. So now people go, hey, you remind me of him. You should, you know, I mean, I take it totally as a compliment. It's great.
That's cool. Well, listen, I have to tell you this. There is Wes Bound in the chat room. He won't remember me, Trish, but please say hello to Dave. I chatted with him a little after a tour through Europe with Roy Hargrove. He came to Munich with the RH Factor and Renee Neufeld on keys and vocals. And after the gig, I got to chat with him for a bit at, this is German, Bayerischer Hof Munich.
Yes, this is in Munich, yes.
Yes. So Wes says you're really a wonderful guy.
Thank you, and tell him I said hello also, for sure.
Okay, cool. He's hearing all this now. Man, people are really into this, and you know what? We used to hear in radio, because I've been doing radio since 1976, so I am old, baby. We used to hear this all the time, that if one person says it, then 100 feel the same way. So now, Dave, we've got these people in the chat room who are all so appreciative of the creativity that you have and getting into the music. That says a lot.
Oh, and I really appreciate it, too. And I hope to get back to Munich next year, too, you know, because I haven't been there in a while. That's great.
Is there some place
that's the
great
thing about internet radio. That's so cool because it's everywhere in the world. That's very cool.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, too. Is there any place you haven't been that you want to go?
Well, I'd like to go back to Africa again, and I, you know, I'm supposed to go to Japan in February, and I'm really looking forward to that because I haven't been in a few years, and that was one of my favorite places, you know.
I'll bet.
I'm supposed to go to Osaka, I've never been with playing my music, so I'm supposed to go in February the 11th to the 12th, so I'm really looking forward to that.
And you know what? That's an interesting question because I mean, you've done your thing with Kem. And you've done your thing with Kid Rock and these myriad of different artists that I've mentioned. How is it that when you make this transition from being a part of a very respected band with an artist that has an international following and then you do your own gigs, how does that work out? Is that an easy step or did you have to go through some challenges to get booked?
No, yes, it's definitely challenges to get booked because people, it's a different thing. Like over, I mean, and your concentration goes where you are. So it's strange. I, about 5 years ago, 4 years, I mean, I've been playing with Kid Rock, I guess, about 4 or 5 years. And before that, I was playing with Kim and Bob James a lot. So we went to Japan for like 3 weeks with Bob James. And it was the first time that he actually said Bob James on the marquee and it said Bob James featuring Dave McMurray. And I was so excited, you know. I mean, like, cause we were playing the Blue Notes in clubs, and the gigs were great. You know, we were having such a good time. The band was like sounding really good, and then they were talking about booking me all the clubs. They were like, "Hey, we got to bring you back when you have your new CD." So I was like, "Yeah," you know. So I was all excited. So we came home. I was home for maybe a week, and so all of my concentration was okay. Here you go. You know, you got to get back over there. And I got the call to do a Kid Rock gig. And then when he called me, he said, "Hey, can you do the David Letterman show?" And I was
what?
Like, Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know. So I did the David Letterman show, and he says, well, since you're in New York, you might as well do the, you know, the show in New York. I was like, yeah, I can do that. And then that was it. And so then I came home for about 3 days, and then I get a call from him saying, hey, can you do the tour? And I was like, yeah, I can do the tour. And who knew, you know, 4 years later, I'd still be there. So that kind of,
that's wild.
You know, you know, he worked quite a bit. So that took a lot of time. You know, all of a sudden my mind was going in one direction. All of a sudden I shifted into another. And it's been going that way for the last 4 years. So that's why it's like this year is like, okay, I'm back to Dave McMurray, you know. I'm definitely looking to get booked. Because my best audience, I would, you know, in the States, but I would also go to the UK every year, you know, twice a year, and then I go to Spain. Those were my two markets where I go a lot. So I was definitely veering out to go to Germany and, you know, get my Europe thing and Japan. So hopefully that'll all happen this year.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be a lot. And you know what? I've been asking different folks who have been with me on the show what their thoughts are about 2012. More times than not, I don't think there's really actually been anybody who has said differently, but do you feel a lot of hope for 2012?
Oh, without a doubt. I'm very positive. I'm very positive because I know what the state of radio has been over the past few years, but I kind of think things are going to look up. I'm very positive about it, you know, in every aspect, you know.
Yeah, people have been doing their homework, whether they've been in music or whatever endeavor is their gift, and a lot of people have been thinking outside the box, and all of that is going to come to fruition in this coming year. It's just about to pop, I think.
Oh, no, I think so, too. I mean, because, you know, I mean, over the past few years, you know, the state of, like, where the smooth jazz radio and all that, you know, kind of went away.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like on the radio, and so it's kind of been down for the last couple of years. I think that's going to change because, you know, because there wasn't any radio, people kind of been doing what they want to do, you know, musically. Instead of like,
yes,
okay, I have to do this to try to get on this radio station. People have just kind of been doing what they want, and that is a whole different energy. That energy, I think, is contagious. You know, I'm definitely positive that things are going to, you know, definitely work out for the best. You know?
And that's a whole different conversation, Dave, honestly, because, I mean, one of the beauties of listening to your music is that you know, anybody who's listening knows, that this is authentic. You are doing what you want to do, and it's your voice. It's not anybody else's voice telling you to do something a certain way so you can get radio play. That's the courageousness I love about the artists that have been on this show. Everybody's listening to what their gift is supposed to be, and they're not
right.
letting anything else get in the way because people want to hear you. They don't want to hear
right.
some clone of somebody else.
Right, because, I mean, and I think the radio, as it was a few years ago, it kind of forced you into that direction because you knew if I didn't sound like this, I can't get on the radio. And, you know,
that's
if
right.
I can't get on the radio, I can't, you know, I won't get any gig. You know, I mean, it's like a thing. So it made people, okay, I got to do this. I have to sound like him. And that's not conducive to, I mean, that's going to backfire on you sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know, because it kind of takes the creativity out of it, you know. And I think that's kind of what happened. You know, you listen to the radio and all of a sudden you can listen an hour and most people sounded the same. And that's not good.
No. Oh, my gosh. And we used to hear about this all the time when I was working in terrestrial radio. And it was mostly male programmers who thought that they knew the answers. And it wasn't like it happened all the time. But there was enough of this kind of attitude that made me realize how much I wanted to do and how much I appreciated folks like you, because some of those male programmers said that people who listen to the music are stupid, and they were wrong. People,
oh, definitely.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and this is radio, different kinds of formats, but they were saying the same thing. They don't understand that people aren't like sheep. If it comes to music, they want to hear the heart and soul of what you have to offer.
And it is, right.
Exactly. If they don't hear that ring of truth, they're going to go elsewhere.
Right. And I kind of think that's what happened. It got to be too much of a formula. You
yep.
know? And it's not like musicians necessarily wanted that formula. I mean, if they did, that's great. But a lot of them, they didn't, you know, but they were kind of forced to, or, you know. And that's kind of what happened, you know. I mean, but it's not anything new. I remember years ago when, you know, when Grover Washington, you had Freddie Hubbard, you had all these individual great musicians who all had a different sound, but they all got big record deals. I remember that. They were all on Columbia and, you know, Atlantic, and they all had big record deals with big budgets.
Yep.
And that lasted for a few years. And then all of a sudden, they dropped them all. You know, Freddie Hubbard got dropped. Woody Shaw got dropped. You know, Grover, he was too big. He kept a record deal. But all of the great musicians didn't have a record deal. And that, to me, that was shock. Me and being a listener, I was like, wow. You know, it's like, what are these guys going to do? All of a sudden, you know, they were used to the budgets and they were used to doing what they did. That lasted for a few years where it was like a drought all the way until George Howard. People forget that George Howard was like the first guy to come back. He came out with an independent label, and he came out doing what he wanted to do, and it worked. And it kind of brought jazz back, you know, to the radio, you know. But during those years, it was actually a drought, and I think that's where it's been the last couple of years. You know, it's kind of, you know, all the major labels bowed out of jazz, most of them.
God, I miss George Howard a lot. Man, that was some.
I was a big fan. Just because I was a big fan because he came out and did what he wanted to do. He came out with the sound, and he was all soprano sax, and it was really different for the time. And he's a Philly guy, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. For sure. Yeah, I should see him with Grover.
Hey.
I love that. I was like, wow, he's got another saxophone player, Grover. Wow. That was amazing that he was mentoring a guy like that, you know.
Hey, and if we're going to talk about Philly, can we just mention John Coltrane, please? Thank you very much.
Oh, but it all stops right there, you know.
that is
my biggest influence of, you know, of all times, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was just more passion in that sound in one note that was incredible. You know, he can just play one note, and it was just so passionate, you know.
Well, actually, you would have really enjoyed this some weeks back. One of the great teachers and benefactors in Baltimore is Carl Grubbs. And Carl's cousin was Naima, who was married to John.
Right.
And,
I remember the Grubbs brothers.
Yes, right.
Yes, I have those records.
Do you really?
Well, yeah,
Carl.
I have them on wax.
Man. Well, Carl was talking about, you know, being a young guy, and, I mean, he was essentially living sometimes with John, and John was very meticulous. Sometimes John would just go in the next room, disappear for hours and practice.
But you can hear it. You can hear it. In every aspect of his playing, from, you know, every change that he would make, you can still hear it. You can hear this was not random. This was he was working at this. He was searching for something, you know.
Man.
Sure, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, God. He's a standard bearer for any argument that you would have about jazz because, first of all, John Coltrane didn't know at the time that he would be considered straight ahead in these days because he was such an innovator as far as what he was able to do with the saxophone.
Right.
He created these scenarios where people got mad at him because he changed, but he had to change.
Right. Yeah.
So
he was searching for something. After he did Giant Steps, which is the consummate record for chord changes and, you know, being able to have the ability to play through those chord changes, that was like the ultimate song. And so after he did that, that was it. You know, after he did that record, that was the last record that was like that. The next label, he had a totally different thing going on, you know. And I know people were probably, you know, me as, you know, being young, of course, I'm loving it. But I can imagine, you know, his musicians who were used to that didn't want him to change.
Sure.
Yeah, they wanted him to keep doing. They wanted him to keep doing what he was doing, you know.
Well, I mean, he was making so much money for everybody else around him, but
That's another thing. You know, that's true.
Well, let me ask you this: if there was a scenario, because you know I respect your opinion more than a lot of people, just because you've seen so much genre crossing, if you will. And you're so entrenched in the industry, you've got a great reputation. Do you think, Dave, it's a matter of if there was a radio station that would play these different kinds of elements of jazz, do you think that would do it? Because honestly, people don't necessarily know to go to clubs unless they know the artist. And they have to hear the artist because of an everyday scenario like radio.
Right. Well, I think it's like in Detroit in particular, it's begging for a station like that. They're
right.
Begging for a station, you know, a station that would play all types of music. I remember going through Upper Michigan, and I'm just driving, you know, and I'm trying to find radio. And all of a sudden, wow, a station popped up. And this was one of those eclectic stations, and they were playing like Roy Ayers Live, some record I hadn't heard. You know, that was about 10 minutes long, and then after that, they would go with this another song. I was like, this is great. And as soon as I got to Detroit City Limits, it was gone, you know, because it didn't reach as far to get to Detroit. But I was like, we need a station like that because people would listen to it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people really would, you know, I know stations are money, you know, commercials in the whole shot, you know. But, you know, I think people would actually support a station like that.
Oh, for sure. And actually, the more I think about it, and you've sort of opened this door for me while you've been on the show today, but actually a small town mentality with a big view of what it could be, because you've delved into so much and picked up, absorbed so much from each of the artists that you've been playing with, that it shows in your music. And if there was a way, and I've talked about this so much and people in the chat room know, but I really do foresee a hybrid jazz radio station that's a commercial station, because it's got to make money for people, you know.
Right.
It can't be a public radio station, because most of those stations only play jazz part-time. It's got to be full-time, where you can hear you can hear Roy Ayers live, you can hear, anybody from old stuff in the early days of Coltrane to later on Miles Davis. You can hear Bitches Brew. You can hear some of the best vocalists in the world. It's all in the mix, so every song is a mind-blower.
Yeah, it's definitely room for that. I mean, you know, and I think it would. I like your idea of like being. It has to be a commercial station. That's good.
Yep. Because
I love what you're doing. I got to say, I love your approach. I love you. You know, your attitude toward it. It's great. That is very much needed.
Thank you. Let's make sure that we continue to spread the word. And for sure, when I get dates from you or whoever's in association with you, I'll make sure we talk about them, because we do have people. I mean, I'm looking at the folks that are listening today that I can see at least, and there's California there, there's Germany, there's Texas, there's the East Coast, real East Coast of the States. So, people need to know.
Right. They definitely need to know. That's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's cool.
I love your show.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I know time is getting to be of the essence. And look, I could not go through this hour without playing something from I Know About Love. I really do love Calls. If that's okay with you, can I play that?
Oh, I'd love. I appreciate it. That's great.
Because it speaks volumes that Kim came to you and said, I'll do this for you. Sure. You've done what you've done for me.
And he did such a good job, too. You know, he's really good. He's very cool. I did a CD release party in Toledo, Ohio last Thursday. And He showed up, which was a shock.
Did he?
Yeah, because I didn't tell him to come. I was like, okay, this is my first gig, you know, doing this music. And I looked out, and there he was. You know, I was like, I appreciated the support. You know, that was good.
That was so awesome of him to do that.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I didn't want him to, you know, come up. You know, he wasn't coming to sing, but, you know, we were going to do Love Cause, you know, and then Hershel was going to sing it. So Hershel was like, oh, no, I don't want to sing it, you know. I don't want to sing it in front of him necessarily. And then after that, he was like, oh, yeah, I sing it. He ended up being great. It was great. He really enjoyed it. So that was good to see, you know.
That's good news all the way around. Well, we've had Dave McMurray on the air with us on the show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and this is something from the brand new I Know About Love CD. This is Love Calls. Check it out.
When we thought we knew all there was to know about love, it calls us from afar.
Yeah, well, I don't think I need that portable heater in the room right now. Wow. Let me tell you something. Dave McMurray just thrilled us with that saxophone on Love Calls from I Know About Love. And let me tell you the scenario in the chat room, Dave. It's more hysterical than I have ever seen it because several of us are by ourselves. So we're feeling rather comfortable with ourselves right now. And two of the people that are listening are a couple. So you've pretty much dictated what the afternoon is going to spell like for Debbie and Matt, okay?
That's the way to do it. That's a good purpose for music right there.
Woo! And I'm sure that they're going to write to you and say thank you later on. But oh, my gosh, it's so awesome to have these different vibes for each of the tunes on I Know About Love. And let me ask you this. Where's the best place that folks can go to purchase the CD?
Well, it's available on iTunes now. It's on CD Baby. If you want a physical CD, you can go to CD Baby and order it. And they usually are pretty quick. Amazon.com is good.
Yep.
And
okay.
Reverb Nation also. You know.
Gotcha. Let me tell folks not to go to DaveMcMurray.com because that's a money website. And I tried to go to Dave McMurray just out of the blue, and it takes me to a website where, you know, there's financial independence or whatever.
Now actually what it is DaveMcMurrayLive.com.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
But you can also purchase from the website also. Yeah,
okay, great. That's good to know. Yay! Well, what would you like to see in 2012 happen? What would be your fondest wish come true for the new year?
Well, my fondest wish would be a tour of the United States, a tour of Europe, and a tour of Japan, you know, with the David Quintet right there.
Wow. That
would be the goal. That's what I'm working on.
And why is Japan so compelling for you? What is it about that country?
Well, they're jazz lovers. You know, that's the biggest way I can put it. Every time I've been there, they actually know the history. So, you know, when I would go over there, it would be people who would come up with records. You know, they would have copies of my first CD that no one had. You know, and they would know everything about me. And I was like, well, how do you? You know, people at home don't even know about me like that, you know, and they were around me, you know, but they are jazz lovers, you know, and they have a lot of places to play. The main place to play over there right now is the Blue Note.
Right.
It's like the Blue Note that's in New York, but they actually have them in Osaka, Tokyo, you know, it's about five of them there, you know, so if you can get on that tour, you'll pretty much tour each one of those clubs. So,
isn't
but, you know,
that
amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah, they're just jazz lovers over there, so that's you know, that's why I like it so much. You know?
And
they treat you so. I mean, you know, it was funny. Like when we went up the last time I was over there, Bob James' manager, she went with us. You know, and she had never been over there, but she had, you know, so she, you know, she's riding with us, and then we go to the gig. And the first thing she says is, wow, no wonder y'all like coming over here. Because, like, they had a strange custom. As soon as you pull up in the parking lot, you know, like, if it's they're number one, they're time conscious, so everything is dead on time. But as soon as we pull up in the parking lot, like the van, you know, the limo or the van or whatever is coming, the employees are there to greet you. They actually come out of the club, and they greet the musicians as they come in. I was like, wow, that's a great tradition right there. You know, that's something that definitely would not happen in the United States.
Well, what that is, gosh, I wish my father had a chance to go over there because my father worked in customer service. That's what you call customer service right there, you know?
Oh, the ultimate. That's the ultimate. That's the one thing I see over there. They're getting very Americanized. But that is the part that hasn't changed. You know, like if, you know, when you go into a McDonald's or a Subway or something, the people who are working there are actually proud to be working there.
Oh, wow.
And their customer service is excellent. You know, and that is definitely a different thing that you get anywhere else, you know, because they actually, you can tell they're proud of their job, you know. And I think that's a great quality, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot to be said. One of my, actually, my name on Twitter is Radio Geisha.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be said for the fact that it seemingly is true that the Japanese people put you ahead of them.
Oh yeah, they like music, and I think they embraced it years ago, and it's not them. They didn't invent the music, you know. I'm sure you can go over there and they have reggae music and R&B and you know they have all that too. They love all that. I mean, but they embraced jazz years ago, so that's you know, so that's why they have a tradition of it. And they didn't, like I said, they didn't invent it, you know. So that's why they appreciate it more, you know. Like it's like having a, you know, we as Americans, we can hear a great gospel singing, you know, every Sunday, you know, but when you go to other countries, they appreciate it more because they don't have that. You know, we get a little bit jaded over here because I know people could sing all over the place. It's like, well, it's really not like that, you know.
Right.
You know, in other countries, they actually, you know, they appreciate it because they don't get that every day, you know.
And isn't it amazing, Dave, that when you go to these different countries, and I know this to be the case in Japan, because there are people who play jazz, they get into it so much. I mean, if you were wearing blindfolds or you didn't know who you were watching, you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell that what you are hearing isn't from the heart and soul of where jazz was born. They are so blissfully aware of how much this music moves them, and they feel it. It's just a lovely thing to hear people across the globe, Africa, in France, in Spain, they're creating all these different kinds of jazz flavors. I love it.
Oh yeah, and they put their twist on it, their influence on it, you know. But that's the power of music. I say that music is a very powerful thing, you know. No matter where, I mean, if people can't even talk their language, but they'll still have music as the commonality.
That's right. That's right. Woo. Well, I know that you're going to do so well. Oh my God, it's just honestly, there's been a lot of chat rooms, but this is the one where folks have said, as they're saying now, the first thing they're going to do when this interview is over is go to Amazon or CD Baby or Reverb Nation and buy the CD.
Ah, great. That's what I want to hear. And hopefully, I'll get to your town.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, Baltimore is one of my favorite places, Baltimore, D.C. area. I've got to get there.
Well, look, even if you're going to be down the road in Philly, we'll make it a point. I mean, anybody who's listening who's in the area right now or listening in the archives, we'll travel because, man, this corridor here that we're living in is so music. Gosh, we adore the different kinds and flavors and shades of jazz. So we'll go wherever, Dave. You just point us in the right direction. We'll be there.
Okay. Now that sounds good. That sounds good.
I appreciate the fact that you took an hour. God bless you.
Ah, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. This is great. I feel like I know you, you know.
And I feel the same. And I know that you're going to do well. And you just have a certain sweet vibe around you that is going to just make a difference in healing a lot of people in this coming year. So I thank you ahead of time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless, and we'll see you down the road. We'll keep abreast. Give me the website one more time.
Okay, www.davemcmurraylive.com.
DaveMcMurrayLive.com, so folks know the difference. That's excellent. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you in 2012.
Okay, great. Okay, have a good one. Talk to you soon.
All right, Dave, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. I am so psyched for the new year up ahead. Lord have mercy. You make sure that you get yourself a copy of that CD. I have been enjoying, to quote Huggy Lowdown, the shiggity out of this CD for the past several days. It has just been too awesome to hear such creativity at work. And, man, guess what? By the time this next show rolls up, we're going to have some more this Thursday. It's going to be a gentleman that I've known about for a few years, for the love of all that's good and holy. Maurice Johnson plays a guitar, has been in the business for quite a while. Another one of these seasoned pros that, to my mind, doesn't get enough attention. We're going to wrap up 2011 with Maurice this Thursday, and we are booked through January. God is good all the time. Man, some really great folks, and we're going to start off the new year with new daddy at the age of 54, Tony Bunn. He's going to be here with us on the 3rd, and it just starts from there. Sometime during the month, the great singer, Sashal Vasandani, who's doing something really special at Blues Alley. So make sure you keep abreast of what's happening on Facebook for sure. And, gosh, what else? Oh, yes. Thank you so much to Debbie, to Griselda, to Matt, to Wes, to all of our guests who have been in the chat room today and who have been so supportive since August. It has been a great pleasure to present to you Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and it's going to continue. Thank you all so much. God bless, and we'll see you Thursday with Maurice.